First of all, I just want to introduce the agenda for the meeting. You have received the agenda, members, and its presentation by Department of Human Settlements and National Treasury, and will allow members to discuss, and the secretary will advise us on the correspondence to the committee, and then we'll deal with the normal business of the committee, correspondence, and then we'll deal with the minutes and conclude. But by way of starting, just to indicate that the National Development Plan emphasizes the need for urban reform, including densification, to overcome apartheid's spatial legacy. And earlier in the year, the Minister of Finance, in the budget speech, indicated that this expenditure in this function is expected to grow at an average annual rate of 8%, reaching 226.4 billion by 2019-20. Financial years. Spending will focus on public transport, housing, and improving access to water, sanitation, and electricity. As a result, 75.5% of the spending in this function is group is allocated to transfers of conditional grants and municipalities and transfer to public entities for infrastructure development. Now, members, we have invited the Department of Human Settlement and indicated that the purpose of today's meeting, we expect to receive presentation by the Department of Human Settlement on the Urban Settlement Development Grant expenditure in the first three quarters of 2016-17 financial years. And the Urban Settlement Development Grant is a Schedule 4B grant whose purpose is to support the National Human Settlement Development Program, focusing on poor households. The strategic goal of the grant is to assist metro municipalities to improve households have access to basic services. And members will agree with me that in the recent past currently, the need for housing continue to dominate public discourse in South Africa. And I think this will be quite a very helpful comprehensive briefing that we expect to receive from the Department of Human Settlements and National Treasury. I just propose from the chair that we reorder our program. We start with actually with the Department of Human Settlements. We do receive these briefings from Treasury, and Treasury will highlight those, so that we give Department adequate time to make the presentation. Any apology we receive from the committee?
Thank you, President. No, no, we do not receive any apologies.
I thank the most. All members of the committee are here. And for ease of reference, honorable members, as we engage in deliberations, you may just just indicate your name, so that because it's not more regular, we interact with Human Settlement Department. Earlier, I did request from the chair that our sister committee that is dealing with the human settlement should be invited. I think they indicated that they equally have a commitment because we expected them to be here, or more specifically, at times we do have joint meetings with the Standing Committee on Appropriations when we deal with grants. We have had it previously. However, it's because currently the two houses are dealing with the budget, so spread all over. Thanks very much. I will give to Human Settlements the DG here, so that you also make introductions of the senior executives that you're with. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first apologize for arriving in the middle of the meeting. We coming from another committee, the Select Committee on Social Services. I will be excused in 30 minutes because I will leave my colleague here behind. I'm going to present to the Cabinet Committee on Social Protection. If we finish ill, I'll come back here. But I'm accompanied by capable colleagues of mine. The CFO is here, sitting next to me. Funaneng Matlatsi, who is responsible for our finances. Next to her is Dr. Sokopo, who is responsible for our policies in the department, acting DDG policy. And sitting next to Dr. Sokopo is Masheng, which is Notak. And next to her is Lucy, who's our chief investment officer, Lucy Masili, and we have Mulalo, who's responsible for monitoring and evaluation in the department. Down there, we have Nabil Chain, who's our operations officer, DDG for operations. I've got other colleagues sitting behind me from the ministry. Josephine Shabane should be sitting here in front. He's responsible for projects, he's DDG for projects. And then we have Swazi behind me, and Sharon Gopal from the ministry. I need to apologize for Minister, there is an issue in ELSIS today at 1 o'clock with the President, and Minister is in a prep session right now. She wanted to be part of this meeting as well. The Deputy Minister is in the Cabinet Committee as we speak. We thought that it will start at 11, they have moved it forward. It's starting now at 10 o'clock. But Chair, we are all here and we'll be able to answer every question. I'm not going to waste much of your time. I'll go straight to the presentation. We have structured our presentation. What I will do, I'm going to ask the CFO to take us through the performance of the metros very briefly since the introduction of this grant, the USDG, the Urban Settlements Development Grant. You will see in that presentation that there are perpetual poor performers. I won't mention them until we finish the presentation. You will also notice that there are also good performers in that grant, and we will identify them, as you will see, in fact, as we continue with the presentation, who are the good performers, and we will be able to tell you why some metros are performing better than others. You will see in the that in the first three quarters of the year, we looked at the figures up until the end of April in this current financial year, which the municipal financial year is ending in June. I must say that there are surprises this year. For instance, we worried about Antiquini. They have never been in the position that they are in right now. They have always been performing very well over the years. We were also worried about Jobek, the Jobek figures in this current financial year. We think that something is not going okay there, but we talked to the officials. As of yesterday, we met with some of the officials from the city of Jobek, just to understand what is happening there, because they have been doing well all the time. Remember, these municipalities are still using the actual accounting system, which allows them to close the books a little bit later. In fact, to allow them to continue up until end of July, even up to August, to close the books. So I think it's still early to raise any concerns. We're looking at figures up until the end of the 31st of March, correct? So we still have 3 months in the municipal financial year to finalize things. But there are areas of concern, Chair, and I will raise them at the end of this presentation. I also need to state up front, Chair, before we ask the CFO to continue with the presentation, that if you look at vote 38, we don't look at USDG in isolation, because USDG buys land. It does land acquisition, it buys informal settlements upgrading, it buys bulk infrastructure, which will make it possible for us to deliver human settlements. If you don't do all of those upstream activities, which is your bulk, your land acquisition, you will not be in a position to buy your houses. You will not be in a position to deliver your human settlements. So we've always made this point very clear to all of our colleagues at the national and our colleagues in the province and in municipalities that these two grants, the Urban Settlements Development Grant and the Human Settlements Development Grant, the two grants have to talk to each other. They have to complement each other at all times. But also we want to make sure that we use the grant, the Urban Settlements Grant, Development Grant, to crowd in private sector participation or private sector investment in the sector to leverage on the ground so that we get more private sector funding. You will see it maybe next time you will call us to come and make a presentation on the catalytic stroke mega projects, because we use the grants to get more private sector funding. But that's not for today. Today you've asked us to dwell and focus on the urban settlements development grant. CFO, if you can lead us.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable Chair and honorable members, good morning. Chair, the presentation is subdivided and categorized in terms of the concerns, or rather the sections that the committee had requested the Human Settlement Department to follow. The first four, if not five, slides will talk to the funding part, which would indicate the trends in which the USDG had followed from the inception, as DG had indicated. And then it will be followed by the issue of the USDG framework and the policy that is also underway. And subsequent to that will be the issue of the monitoring and evaluation of the grant itself. Now, the first question that came to the fore was for the Human Settlement to provide the first 3 years of the USDG grants as well as the expenditure. And we've gone further to also indicate the current scenario of the USDG allocation as well as the expenditure. I must indicate that at the time of the inception, and as among members would know, that most metros were utilizing the MIG, which is the MIG, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, which at that time did not meet the needs of the human settlement per se, because the issue of the bulk was always, or has always been, a challenge where we would not be able to meet our top structure in terms of the various areas across the country. Hence, the development of the human settlement, the Urban Settlement Development Grant. The Urban Settlement Development Grant, and upon its inception, Chairperson, is informed by the combination of the grant, which was the MIG then, as well as top sliced from the Human Settlement Development Grant during that stage to form the Urban Settlement Development Grant. And as we shall be indicating, will be the figures from the time that the USDG was incepted, which was 2011-2012, to date. The figures as presented, and if I may begin to indicate that to the period of 2011 to 2016, you would realize that there's a space between the rollover column from the 11-12 financial year, where we started with the USDG at the budget of 6.3 billion in total, which the whole fund was transferred to all the eight metros at a time of them being categorized as metros. And to that effect, 5.6, if not 5.7 of it, to the percentage of 90%, was expended by all our eight metros. And I think as we move along, you will get an indication of the different categories of the expenditure from the metros. And at that time, we had an underspending of 607 million by the time the metros had finalized and closed their books before the audit. And as DG had indicated, at that time we also understood that the accrual system allowed them to even close the book by the end of August within the FEN, the same financial year. However, all the invoices at that time would and needed to have been back dated 30 June 2011, or rather 2012. So you would have a figure of 5.3 spent and an underspending of 607 million. In 2012-2013, then the scenario changed, because that's where you have a rollover of funds. And in terms of the MFMA and in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, metros are allowed to also apply for a rollover, which at that time was generic, because this is an infrastructure grant. So the allocation then was 7.4 billion, which was coupled by the rollover to all the metros that could not spend their entire allocation by 30 June the previous financial year. And an amount of 607 million was approved as a rollover, which came to an amount of 7.9 billion in total to all the metros again. But if you look at the trend, Chairperson, while it had increased from 19 to 94%, we still had an underspending. And in most of the time, metros would budget or project to spend 95 to 96% of their allocation. Given the fact that they would indicate that most of the plan will start in the middle of the year and contractors would be appointed roughly second week of the year. And at that time, you would have missed the balance of the money that would have been expended from the 1st of July to the 31st of December, as it would be the second quarter there. But I think if you look at it, it does give a sense that there's a fluctuation in terms of the percentage expenditure in terms of the year. So at that time, in contrast to the 607 million that we had in terms of the underspending, it dropped significantly, and I think that that time metros were getting used to the fact that this grant is very user-friendly and it could be accommodated across the spheres of the metros, as they would fund a number of activities, including the acquisition of land as well. Now, if you look at the 473 that was not spent by the 2012-13 financial year, part of it was approved as a rollover in 2013-14 to the value of 442 million. The rationale behind that was the fact that the metros who could not provide substantial commitments to the amount could not receive the entire allocation in terms of the rollover. Then the part of the money got lost into the system, so it went back to the fiscal. And in 13-14, the budget was 9 billion, coupling it with the rollover. Then metros had, as in 2013-14, a budget of 9.5 billion to spend. That was enough for metros to could cater for some of the accruals that could not be captured in the previous financial year. That was also enough for the metros to can accommodate new projects and new services to be serviced within the budget of 9.5 billion. But if you look at the trend from 94% to 90.9%, it's not significant, but one would have expected that the percentage grows as beyond 95%, because all of them have projected the 95%. Then again, we had an unspent expenditure of 585 million, which was subsequently approved as a rollover to the subsequent year of 1450, which led for the metros to have a budget of 10.8 billion, and of which 10.1 was expended. Again, the expenditure fell down to 93%, and I think at that time we had a worrying factor to say if we move with this trend, we'll find ourselves having to lose most of the funds back to fiscal. And although we had monitoring an evaluation program that would look at the metros, although we had intervention at that point in time, we had a minimal improvement in as far as the expenditure is concerned. But again, as you would understand the categories of the metros, in the fact that in most of the time everything gets to be approved by the council, if the council does not sit on time, it delays the project and it delays the approval of any contractual arrangements that would have been made during that particular financial year. Last financial year, as the grant grew bigger to 10.5 billion, we had a rollover of 806 million, which led to provinces having an amount or available amount to spend of 11.3 billion. 10.7 of it was spent. If one has to weigh or give a quantitative analysis of the weight of the allocation and the weight of the expenditure, even though there's an improvement in expenditure during 15-16, the weight suggests that the grant, the expenditure did not improve, because at the time of the 14-15 The value of the grant was 10.3 billion. The value of the grant was 15-16 was 10.5. So we would have expected an expenditure to grow further to at least 96%, given the fact that at that time, the lesser amount was spent. However, the budget was not even much more than what was in 15-16. So the expectation of the percentage to that in terms of your hypothesis would have been to say that the grant would have increased significantly by 96%. And at that time, I think so many measures had been put in place for us to be able to pick up or to even identify challenges that would have been with the metros at that point in time. But they are the same. As we were presenting in the select committee and social services, we did indicate that challenges in metros vary from metro to metro. However, there are common challenges that metros would experience in terms of the performance of the grant itself. The total of it as at 31st March this financial year, the grant has had not significantly increased due to the economic downturn, and it was affected also by the poor economic growth. So we had just an increase of 100 million of this grant, whereby only the 298 million in total was approved as a rollover, in contrast to 591 that could not be spent by Metro. Now, Chair, if you look at the bottom part, it tells you to say from the time that the grant started, or since inception, we had voted funds of 54.4 billion. Of that amount, only 49 billion was spent by our Metro, leaving a budget of 5.4 billion unspent. However, as I indicated, part of the money could be spent or went spent by the province, by the metros, during the period. The next slide talks to the divided or the segmented metros. The first slide was the total summary, and this talks to the 6.2 billion that I indicated earlier on, as well as the expenditure of 5.6. Together with a percentage of 90% across all metros, the point of departure on this one is the fact that we have divided into the metro specific. You would realize that all the metros during 11-12 did not or could not spend the entire grant. Only one metro spent the whole allocation of 102 million, which is your Nelson Mandela Bay. The highest metro that contributed to the underspending was Buffalo City at that time, followed by Mangaung. And we also got worried about the city of Joburg and city of Cape Town. And I think as DJ had indicated, he spoke about the culprits in terms of the performance of the USDG from the inception. And as we move along, Chairperson, I would urge members to just look at the percentage rate of an expenditure as the year went by. That was 11-12 in terms of the municipalities. Again, in 2012-13, we still had Buffalo City still leading with an underspending of 208 million, with your Mangaung during that period to the value of 129. Then we had all the metros having expended their grants. City of Cape Town was also among those that could not spend. The subsequent year of 13-14, 652,000 of Buffalo City could not be expended. One could just as well pick up the improvement, and significantly so, of the metro at that point in time. Then we had Ekurhuleni as well as the city of Cape Town not having expended their budget fully so. And at that point in time, our eyes became so open such that we realized that these two metros needed an intervention. But we still had Mangaung not having spent their allocation in three consecutive years of the grant as from the inception. City of Cape Town dropped the performance, but if you look at the previous financial years, I think their expenditure was much more than what they had experienced in 13-14. In 14-15, the trend moves again with Mangaung, Ekurhuleni, the city of Tshwane, as well as the city of Cape Town. For Ekurhuleni, the figure was highly significant, and I think the worrying factor to that effect was that if this matter continues with this trend, that amount would not be approved as a rollover, and Treasury started to tighten. And I think at that time the economy was also trying to, so was slowing down and impacted on the funds that could not be spent by metros, including the HSDG, which would have actually led to, or rather led to us not to have the same funds being approved as a rollover. But I think the trend, it does indicate to say that we still had those metros that had lagging behind from the time that the USD had started. 15-16 again, I still emphasize the trend. Eguruleni became the highest in terms of the underperformance of the grant. And this had, among other things, impacted on the services that the grant would have provided to the Eguruleni Metro at large. It was followed by the city of Cape Town. But I must emphasize, Chairperson, during this period, this is when we realized that we could apply the provisions as in the Division of Revenue Act, whereby you could take money away from the metros and redirect it to the metros that would have needed the money, or rather had projects that needed money but could not be able to absorb, or rather to receive the money. At the time of the request of the Division of Revenue Act made to National Treasury, the department was rather too late and Treasury could not approve. However, Treasury did indicate that if we could not take the money in the 15-16-17, or rather 16-17, we could look at the subsequent year, which is the first March quarter of the financial year starting. And at that time, the worry factor was that we could even lose the money back to the fiscus. And indeed, Chairperson, if you look at it, while we had planned to absorb this money in the following year, in 16-17, Eguruleni could not get the money as a rollover. So we lost that 297 million back to fiscus. But you would still have had City of Cape Town receiving their 145, because they had shown commitments, they had shown projects that were linked to the 145 million. And City of Joburg, again, as a trend that could not spend in the previous year, did receive 94%, and Mangaung again. And that on its own, Chairperson, led from the budget of 10.8 billion to 11.1 billion. Which is the money that is closing the year as we speak, which is 16-17. And DG had indicated that the figures that we're presenting are as at 31st March 2017, given the fact that Metro still have 3 months to spend their figures at that time. And I think at this present moment, they're only left with a month or so. But given the fact that they could go beyond pay in terms of the accrual system, the expectation is that all the funds would have been expended by the time they close the book. At that time, Chairperson, the budget of the expenditure of the metros was sitting at 10.8 billion. And we had 5.9 billion unexpended. I'm just losing my figures. But nonetheless, if one looks at the trend, the percentage spending, it's 55%. But as we look at these figures, and I think, Chair, I'm calculating my figures here. They are not talking to each other. And some members would pick this one up as well. And I must upfrontly apologize, because I think there's a miscalculation of figures in there. But I think my colleagues there would have to calculate correctly the figures, because the total available funds is 11.1 billion. And if you look at the way we're saying the expenditure is 10 billion, it's definitely not at the 5.9 billion of the unspent funds. So there's a clashes of figures, and I need to apologize up front for that through you, Chair.
I usually don't do this, but this must be corrected now in this meeting.
I'm
addressing Parliament. Everything is going on record.
Okay, it's noted. I think the department will thank you for.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I think my colleague has picked it up. She is correcting it now. And my apologies to that profusely. And I see the figures. Remember that concern is very much noted. Chairperson, I think as we move, these are the figures as of the third quarter in terms of the March 27th. Chairperson, the next slide does show you that the metros at the budget of 11.1 billion, the expenditure cumulative as at 31 March was 5.9. The 10 billion that we had indicated was all the amounts that had been transferred by the department to the metros. The trend that we are showing here is that during the first quarter, metros had spent 1.2 billion, second quarter, 2.7 billion, and the third quarter was 1.9. The correct figure, member and chair and honorable members, is 5.9 billion, which stands back to the percentage of the forty-five percent at that time. So your 5.9, it's the actual expenditure as we look at it. Chairperson, through the permission of my COO, as I indicated, the presentation is categorized in different parts, and I will allow my colleague through the COO to run the presentation further. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Members, morning. Chair, on the basis of the, as part of the departmental evaluation plan which was submitted to the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, we included an evaluation for the USDG which was undertaken with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, and the results and the report was and is available. I'm not sure if members have had copies of it. But on the basis of the letter submitted, Chair, the recommendations of the DPME based on the USDG evaluation included the following: one, that the DH, the Department of Human Settlements and National Treasury should confirm the USDG status as a Schedule 4B grant for the 2015 DORA, but increase municipal accountability. The second recommendation was that the department should revise the monitoring framework, inclusive of rationalizing outcome, outputs, and indicators, to focus on changes at beneficiary level. The third one was the department must clarify the grant intent with identified existing programs and specific outcomes associated with these programs and related contributions in a revised policy. And then the fourth one, which is indicated there, Chair, that the department should amend the USDG policy framework to stipulate the portion that may be used to procure technical and project management expertise. The departmental response in relation to the USDG evaluations, Chair, if I can confirm, is that in terms of the current status, the USDG is a Schedule 4B grant and remains as such at this point in time. However, it is also forms part of the broader local government fiscal review, and the outcome of this process, it is assumed, will have an impact. And we have engaged with Treasury on this, and National Treasury has said that they will come back to us. And I mean, I suppose Treasury officials will comment on that. In relation to the broader review by the National Treasury of local government infrastructure grants, the department has provided inputs to the local government infrastructure review process through applicable channels, and it is assumed, given some of the presentations that have been made to us by Treasury, that the review will have an impact on the USDG as alignment is required between the USDG, the provincial transport grants, the integrated energy grant, the NDPG, as well as the, which will form part or which all form part of the built environment performance plans which are contained in the USDG grant framework. In relation to the review by National Treasury and local government infrastructure grants, the finding of the USDG evaluation that the USDG should remain a scheduled grant is aligned with the direction of the reform agreed to through the review process. And then the review recommendations for enhancing the structure of the conditional grant emphasizes the importance of two factors: differentiation and grant consolidation. And what do we mean by differentiation? It means a grant system that should be different for urban and rural municipalities. In the metros, the grant system should allow for greater flexibility so that cities can combine grant funds with their own revenues to deliver infrastructure programs. Chair, just to indicate on that point around differentiation, there is a substantial amount of comment that has been received. For example, the Select Committee on Social Services have raised the issue around the applicability of a secondary USDG grant, particularly in relation to some of the larger secondary cities, for which we think there is merit in that, and something that should be considered in the process. And then the consolidation is reducing the number of grants each municipality, which we've indicated, is something that the department supports. The other evaluation, and this is on slide 14, the other evaluation findings, Chair, members, is contained in the slide, and it includes also the policy and the USDG, which was not there when the grant was initiated, the review of the DORA grant framework, which we've undertaken and consulted upon, the review of the formula for funds allocation, and that's something that is done with the National Treasury, the Built Environment Performance Plan, which is currently being used as a planning instrument, then amending the Built Environment Performance Guidelines and Commission. And then one of the other issues that we have discussed and not yet found coherence on is that provinces must have a role as an affected sphere, given the need to align both the Human Settlements Development Grant, the Urban Settlements Development Grant, and the Municipal Infrastructure Grant together with the other grants. And then the monitoring of individual project selection should not be the main focus of outcome. And then the matching funding for every USDG ran by municipalities. Chair, that slide is just in response to some of the key USDG outputs as determined in terms of the grant framework and some of the focuses of the grant. So it's land and landed property, and when we speak about landed property, we speak about buildings. So for example, a lot of the municipalities or the metropolitan municipalities have approached us or have approached or require funding for the purchase of buildings to prevent some of the decay and the degradation that's occurring in some of the inner city areas. Then bulk and link infrastructure, the basic infrastructure services, and that includes the internal servicing of water, sanitation, solid waste, roads, stormwater, electricity, and refuse removal. And refuse removal in terms of the solid waste is the entire chain in terms of that solid waste. Then the service sites, the creation of service sites, and this is specifically in relation to the ability to service internal servicing of site in conjunction with the HSDG. And then public and socioeconomic amenities, that's infrastructure for public spaces. And Chair, I think it's just important to note that this includes the construction of libraries in certain instances, the construction of fire stations, community halls, and that entire spectrum which gets utilized, which the USDG is applied in many instances. And then a portion of the USDG may be used to procure external capacity, and that is the 3% that we've suggested in the grant for operational or OPSCAP for municipalities. And then the big issue, Chair, which we've raised is a minimum of 50% of the grant allocation to be spent on the upgrading of informal settlements, given the pressures of urbanization in those municipalities. Okay, just some of the key issues that we've dealt with on the basis of what we've done as a department. We've improved the monitoring capacity. and the steps that we've taken there, it includes the review of the departmental structure to improve monitoring capacity, and enabling of independent verification of Metro's performance reports, practice notes and guidelines in terms of the mechanics of how the capital funds for operations will be used, and then regionalization has been proposed to ensure better focused monitoring by the department. And then there's a USDG panel with the key sector departments. Again, Chair, there's two additional, the last bullet point on that slide 17 is the outputs, outcomes, and performance indicators have been standardized in the departmental monitoring evaluation framework. I think this is in response particularly around the question of reporting fatigue by municipalities, given the fact that they get bombarded by national and provincial departments around their reporting. We're not there yet, and I think Treasury have also initiated a process in which we, as a national sphere, better manage our reporting performance indicators, outcomes, outputs, and targets, because it gets confusing, even to the best of us. Thanks, Chair. I hope that covers the points that you raised.
Thank you, thanks very much. COO, I see here the presentation, Mr. Mapumulo was happy to leave his old house for the new build house that provide easy access for him as a disabled person. So we need to deal with issues of under expenditure so that more Mr. Mapumulos and Mrs. Mapumulos can have access to housing. So the picture we have painted is quite not a picture in terms of performance of some metros that have been highlighted. Now, members, let's proceed first to Treasury so that Treasury just speak on the issues that it wants to raise on the report. thanks, Treasury.
Members of the committee, thanks very much for the opportunity to present. I'm here with my colleague Thelo Mashaba, who sits behind me, who will present on the detail of the expenditure. We're going to present fairly briefly because I think what we have to say, a lot of it aligns very closely with what the department has already taken you through. I'm going to take you through the background and the grant purpose. And then Stella will take you a little bit through the data. I want to make, though, I think the focus of our presentation is really to make a few points about some of the things to consider when measuring the performance of the USDG as well. So, Chair, we talked a little bit about the differentiation in the system as well, and I want
yeah,
to...
Yeah, that's not to... While presenting, I don't want to. More members are going to look at them, just going to turn and want to greet the minister individually. So, can I welcome the minister? We honored minister that is joining us in dealing with this very important matter. And I think we appreciate it that you indicated previously when we were due to appear before the committee that you'd like to be available to the committee to share some of the observations. So, we feel honored that you have achieved that commitment. Thanks very much, Minister. We have had a presentation by Human Settlements and Treasury speaking on specific issues. So given your time constraints, we'll welcome you at any stage if you want to make an intervention, Minister, before we discuss. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Briefly then, on the subject of differentiation, we wanted to just recap where what the genesis of the USDG is, and it's a recognition of the very large differences between rural municipalities and urban municipalities, and as DDG Cheney said, we're also starting a journey now on the secondary cities to bring them along a similar kind of a journey to the USDG journey that the metros have been on, although there are some differences with that, but I think that's a topic for another day. So some of the main differences between rural areas and the metros and how the USDG responds. Firstly, metros have very large own revenue capabilities, which is very different from rural areas, and so that's why the USDG is a supplementary grant, and as you saw in the USDG evaluation, it's a Schedule 4 grant, which is a supplementary grant for that reason. We expect metros to fund the bulk of their capital budgets from their own resources and complement that with borrowing, with revenue from development charges, etc. And the grant funding should really be the minority stake in that. Then secondly, the built environment challenges that metros are facing are more complex than rural municipalities are facing. So you have freeways, you have large water treatment works, you have limited space that you have to fit municipal services into. So just from an engineering perspective, these things are more complex, and so the cities need a little bit more flexibility around how they respond to those, and the USDG provides a degree of flexibility on that. And then third, and Chair, you started the morning on this note, was around transforming the spatial dynamics of our cities. And that's really at the heart of the genesis of the USDG, that we want a grant that will enable cities to invest in mixed developments, not the kind of ghetto developments that we've had in the past, but mixed developments, mixed use, mixed income, and most importantly in well-located areas. And the built environment performance plans, which again DDG Cheney mentioned, are really our mechanism for doing that, allowing cities to plan where their integration zones are and for them to invest there. And also, very importantly, the USDG, because it's a supplementary grant again, it allows the city to blend its own funding with the grant funding. So you don't have to have a project that's for the poor that's funded from the grant and then another project somewhere else that's for the rich funded by the ratepayers. You can combine those two sources of funding, build something that has business, that has residential for the poor, that has residential for the non-poor, etc. You can, but of course that's hard, but we'll get to that in a moment. And then of course, lastly, it responds to the rapid urbanization that's led to the tremendous growth in informal settlements, particularly in the metros, and as the department mentioned, the USDG requires 50% of the funding to be used in the space of informal settlement upgrading. I think we've largely covered the detailed background. The USDG itself was introduced in 2011. Prior to that, we had a mixed cities grant, which was also a Schedule 4 grant, and prior to that, metros had received the ordinary MIG, the Schedule 5 grant, identical to what rural municipalities received. So that's the kind of journey that the metros have been on. It's a supplementary program funded from the capital budget, and in fact some of the requirements around the USDG require that the reporting on the USDG needs to be reported against the full capital budget of the municipality. And I think that's one of the points that I'd like to leave with the committee is that when we're looking at monitoring the USDG, because it's a supplementary grant, it doesn't make sense to look too in detail at just what the grant rands have been spent on. You need to look at the full capital budget of the municipality. Is the municipality adding its own money? Is it doing these blended projects? Are they doing that kind of hard work? And Sela will present a little bit on the data of the broader capital budget picture. And then the grant is allocated amounts of 10.8 billion rand this year, rising to 12.1 billion at the end of the MTIF, so it grows at about 5%, roughly in line with inflation over the 2017 MTIF. And then on the spatial side, the USDG is intended to facilitate integrated planning and spatially targeted investment in the built environment to promote that urban densification, improve coordination. It targets are measured against that built environment performance plan. And we've put this map here on our slide just to make this point that what you, the spatial dynamic you have in our cities is that you have a developed area surrounded by quite remote, underserved townships. And what the built environment performance plan requires is it says to the city, you must have a strategic plan for how you're going to invest in an integration, we call them integration zones, but it's really that corridor that you see there in this kind of mesh shaded thing with the red lines going down it. How you're going to invest in those corridors so that you link that formerly underserved township to the developed area. And those are complex projects. I think it's worth saying, and this is the other point that I want to leave the committee with, is that it's easy for a municipal manager or a CFO to say, let's use the USDG to buy a big piece of land on the outskirts of town, let's build a road there and a water pipe, and the province can come and build houses there. You'll get 100% spending, you'll get no audit findings, it's easy, you'll deliver it on time, well, as provided the procurement goes okay. But that's the easy way to do things. When we look at USDG performance, though, what we should really be interested in is how much we're achieving in those integration zones. Because if we just build on the far end, and I think the Minister has spoken very eloquently about this, we really perpetuate that apartheid geography. We're not reversing it. So the kind of measures that we're used to looking at with grants, the kind of are you spending 100% of the money or not, is not always, doesn't tell us anything about whether the cities are actually transforming that space or not. And the truth is, when you try to look into that, some of the cities that are underperforming are trying to do the hard work. They're bringing in more of their own money. They're trying to negotiate informal settlement upgrading in situ with communities. They're doing reblocking, and then things are going wrong, and they're underspending on particular projects. And I think we need to have a kind of a nuanced understanding in that space that that sometimes problems and delays that look bad on the financial reporting are because people are trying to do the hard work on the actual delivery ground, and we need to try and have a more nuanced understanding. Unfortunately, in the time we have here, we can't do that, and we really need to look city by city to get a better understanding of that. I'm going to hand over to Cello now. I think Neville has already covered this exact slide on the grant purpose. Stella will take you through the numbers.
Thanks, Stephen, and thanks, Chair, and to the honourable members for the opportunity. Chairperson, I'm just going to continue, as Stephen indicated, on the performance side, and I'll zoom in closely, and I hope members can see the numbers on the screen. Hopefully you have the printouts with you. On the screen, Chairperson, we have two tables. The one table reflects the numbers in 2010-2011, and the other one reflects as at 2016-2017. Now, what these two tables are saying is that they are showing the very purpose why we have the USDG as a supplementary program. We say we want the cities to come quite strongly in leveraging their capital portion in order to grow the built environment. Now, if we look at the first table on the left, the 2010-2011, you'll see that only 14%, let me put it this way, the USDG contributed 14% of the capital revenue of the cities. And if you move over to 2016-17, that number grows 29% over the time. So what it reflects is that the USDG is growing as a bigger portion of the capital revenue of the metropolitan municipalities. If we look into just one example, and members will see that the first table, we did not have Buffalo City and Mangaung there because they were not yet metros at the time. If you look at the second table, and the second municipality is Nelson Mandela Bay, they have grown, the USDG portion has grown from 11% as a percentage of their capital revenue to 56%. What does that say to us? It says that in terms of these two tables, the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality is growing more dependent to the grant as opposed to what we're trying to achieve. So we want our cities to leverage more in terms of their ability to borrow and so on and so forth. The next slide. Again, our focus will be, because we would not focus more on the USDG spend specifically due to the nature of this program. But Chairperson, we are fairly in line with the presentation made by the department in terms of the specific USDG spend. But ours here would focus on the integrated capital spend by the cities. And in terms of the invite, we've been requested to talk about quarter three and quarter four. And due to the nature of the municipal financial year, we can only talk about quarter two and quarter three, because quarter four is only due at the end of June, due to their calendar year. We actually are agreeing with the department to say that we're seeing a slow performance spending, even on the integrated capital program, by the cities. This is the third quarter, and the combined cities are sitting at 46% as at the 31st of March. That has grown from the 30% that they reflected during the second quarter, which was the 31st of December. Almost all cities are really lagging behind in terms of what we would desire. You would see that from in the third quarter itself, almost all of them are recording less than 50% expenditure of their entire capital program. So this is quite a concern, especially if I'm going to borrow from the presentation from our colleagues. You would see that over the years, we have been rolling over the unspent USDG. So this is quite a concern. One can almost predict that we are going to receive rollover requests from the cities. So we are both concerned as the two departments. The next slide, Chairperson, I really, in the interest of time, I really would not like to talk much about it. It's the quarter two performance spend of the specific USDG. The colleagues have already spoken to it, and we're very close in terms of the numbers. Safe to say that our numbers are informed by reporting directly by cities to us, and there's a timing factor. And the next slide reflects expenditure by the cities again in terms of the USDG as at the 31st of March, which is sitting at 62%. The number differs slightly from the department because they have included the rollover portion. So, but in all fairness, we are the same. Our numbers are the same. This is the quantum of the projects that are in the space of the cities. It's about 1,200 projects that the cities are looking at. This is an extract directly from our colleagues. So we fairly are sitting on the same picture. In the interest of time, Chairperson, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mashak. I think, members, we'll invite the minister so that the minister provides more, I think, issues that normally the minister deals with, policy direction, and the minister in the recent past has President Rose and outlining the vision of the country regarding this very same matter, because of the even the unrest that was in some of the cities. So, Minister, I would suggest it would be more easy for Minister if you will. Are you fine, Devin?
Okay.
No, I see the interest, the members are just turning, so, but let's allow the minister to really speak to the committee. Thanks, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, my sincerest apologies for arriving late. And I would love to have an opportunity at a later time, if you have the time, to just delve into the issues that I might want to touch on now, because they will need more time. Mine is a policy issue. We get the plans from the metros on what they're going to do with the USDG on an irregular basis. We depend on them to use this for the purposes that has been outlined to ensure that we have integrated human settlements. On a regular basis, we find that that is not the case in the metros. So we took a decision that we would create a policy for the metros on how to use the USDG. Bearing in mind that I'm a very possessive person, this is my money. This is from vote 38, which I account for everything that goes right or wrong. And so we took it upon ourselves to give clear policy direction on what may or may not be done. This was done in collaboration with the then Minister of Local Government, with the metros themselves, and etc. And we find there's a document here which deals with design and policy and evaluation of the USDG. And very clearly you can see, especially on page 9, I don't know if it's from the Presidency and Human Settlements. I don't know if members have the document. No? No. Okay. But you can see that in the evolution there has been differences of interpretation of what should or should not happen in the area of policy. And I just want to read snippets of what is in this document. It says, and I quote, "While there's a slight variation between the interpretation of the USDG objectives at the local level, at the national level there is a greater divergence. Firstly, metro officials complain about different messages they were receiving from National Treasury and the Department of Human Settlements." Now, that is true. And it goes on to say, if the two national departments can really speak in one voice, it would help us. And that's the reason why I was here, because I would like us to speak with one voice. We have already created a policy for how our USDG will be used in line with the plans that have been put out there. And we would like Treasury and ourselves to be at one with this. Treasury has been vehemently opposed to this, indicating that this is a supplementary grant and we should allow the metros to plan, to put it in line with their own plans. Ours is very different, because every time there is a rollover, we wonder why. I will quote two or three metros. The MEC for the Western Cape will complain that regularly over 3 years there is a requirement for a rollover of the USDG in the city of Cape Town, when in fact we could be using that to put infrastructure in the most underdeveloped areas of Cape Town. The problem we had in Johannesburg is a matter that we could have solved if we could have some kind of agreement with the metro that we will have, we will put infrastructure in all land that is owned by the state. That's the only way we can overcome the huge problem that we have. But for as long as we're not in agreement about who determines how the USDG is used, we're going to have a problem. We would like you to consider that we would like the policy that we put out for the USDG to be the standing policy around which USDG is used. It may supplement, of course it is not enough on its own. It will supplement the other, or will be supplemented by other resources that the metros will have. But this allocation that we give, it is a huge amount in relation to what we get. I get 33 billion from Treasury. 11.5 billion of that goes to the metros. That is a huge chunk of my resources. And I would like to be able to have some kind of policy direction around how it is used, especially now that we're going into the mega projects. We would like to plan ahead, make sure that the metros use the resources to put infrastructure where we're going to put a mega project. We would like the metros to go ahead and put bulk infrastructure in places where we will be able to put people to build their own houses. We're under tremendous, tremendous pressure. It happens once in 3 years and everybody's in the streets wanting more houses. But for as long as we do not have infrastructure, we were unable to move them to the spaces that we have hoped we would move them to. So it's a policy issue that will require quite a lot of discussion. We have been discussing this at MinMec for a very long time, and I represent my MECs in this frustration that we are facing. We ask permission that we give policy direction, and that Treasury understands that this comes from our allocation and the total planning of how we're going to restructure the whole of South Africa to represent the future. We have a special plan, and we would like that the USDG is in line with that special plan. We've also found that because it is such a tiny proportion of what the metros have, it does tend to be more of a nuisance to account for it than the value that we would like to have out of it. It is a small drop in the ocean for the metros. It is a huge amount of money for us. My request is that the committee considers the policy we have given as a standing policy. We have been challenged by the City of Cape Town to indicate that they might take the matter to court because we have no authority to create policy. We do. We do have the authority to create policy over money that we disperse, and we would like to make sure that it is adhered to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. I did indicate earlier we would have wanted that we have our joint meeting with the Select Committee on Human Services. It's a practice on a yearly basis that we collaborate even with the Committee of the National Assembly on Appropriations. We normally have joint meetings. But we quite happy, Minister, the issues that you pointed, because at the end the committee will draft some recommendations that will also be considered in the House, and also will consider even interacting with the underperforming metros, and as well as ensuring that we design our oversight program, of course informed by the briefing of the department, and we'll ensure that, I think in the next round we'll always deal with both financial and non-financial matters as a committee. So I'm simply saying, Minister, it is a very important issue that we're raising, that we also, I think, broaden even the understanding, even in the House, taking the matter in the House and discussing. And we are more appropriate, I think, to deal with the matter, mm-hmm. as you're pointing out. So there are issues that were raised, I think exactly the issues that the Minister has raised earlier, the DG pointed out, that we do not look into this in isolation, that we need really to address these matters. Members, are there specific comments, questions out of the presentations? Yes, Mutara and Honorable Blatch and Honorable Mutara. Yes, the two members. Okay, I know all of you now. I see. Thanks,
Chair. Thank you to the presentations and also to the minister's inputs. I think mine are not really questions, but more just observations generally when we interact with, whether it's Treasury and different departments. It's the first time really for human settlements. But I think my own observation is that unless we get to the grant, the issue of the different types of grants, overlapping and understanding and to who and what and where, we're really not going to solve this problem. Because every we go from MIG and then somebody says, no, this can only be used for MIG, and then there's another grant that can only be used from this road to the next road. People on the ground don't understand that this street, my street, falls under MIG, and my neighbor's part of the street falls under something else. And honestly, and I think the bureaucracy that Treasury is placing on the spheres of government is adding to the stress and underperformance in terms of service delivery, because you can spend and spend and spend to get rid of the money. But we're finding that even when we go on oversight, that the money has been spent, but you really can't see what is happening. And really, National Treasury needs to conclude that process, as in last, even before last year, or last term, or whenever. Because even with this, you have the USDG grant, which was supposed to be everybody speaks about what is the intended purpose, but it gets used in a different way, depending on municipalities, how they want to spend it. So you're going to have a reflection of exactly what you see. The metros saying, no, we're using it according to what is intended, and others saying, no, but we're using it. So what do you want? You want us to spend it, or do you want it for its intended outcomes? I want to agree with what the minister is saying, that the policy, yes, the policy must be finalized, and I don't want to get into who should, but the policy must be finalized, because if you don't finalize the policy, accounting and who accounts for it becomes even more vague, because the municipality will account for most of their money, which is either and the metros. It's what they generate themselves, what they determine as CAPEX priorities, and all of those. And when the minister is saying that it's almost a third of your budget, it's a third of your budget that goes. So if the municipalities don't understand that a third of a budget is a drop in the ocean in theirs, their priority is not going to be a drop in the ocean as opposed to what their CAPEX is, or what they generate themselves. It may help us also, Chair, as a committee, to call in the metros that are culprits, let me say, for underspending, so that we get an understanding of what it is that is causing the underspending. Because I think it depends who asks the question, you'll get a different response. The three metros, the three big metros are from the province that I'm from, which is Gauteng. So Ekurhuleni, City of Joburg, and City of Tshwane. The three metros argument has been that they have not been given the status to do to build human settlements from provincial departments. And they are unable, if they were given that status and that process has been concluded, they would have been able to deliver on human settlements. So they wait for the provincial department's human settlements to either buy the land, etc., etc., etc. And there's a fight between who must do what. So we wait and it's the three metros. We're waiting for the provincial department. They have not yet been given the authority to build human settlements as a municipality. They are only responsible for bulk infrastructure and basic services. So that becomes the fight. And then who accounts for what? If you go to the MEC in Gauteng, they'll say no. The minister must finalize that issue with the province. So it's a back and forth. And I think it will help us really if we call the metros specific that are underspending, so that we understand why they are underspending. But those that are spending, are they really spending on what the USDG is intended for? So they may be spending 100%, but are they really spending on what is it intended for? And in calling in the metros, I think what would be critical for us is what internal funding generation capacity does that do the metros have? And do they necessarily have to rely on then the USDG? So maybe the USDG might not have to go to metros then. It may, if the metro is saying that we have got, it's not much that we get. Let's see then where the USDG should really go. Because you have metros with grants upon grants upon grants upon grants, and whether they get spent appropriately. I want to ask a question, whether it's to Treasury or Human Settlements. This, the issue of financial years, the difference between financial years, does it impact, to me it seems that there is a direct impact on the planning, the reporting, the monitoring, the performance, even the delivery of service. So you get, the financial years, if they can be synergized, I think at some point, was it not, it's one of our partners that always present to us when we do the budget process, and they have spoken about the financial years and the lapses between the financial years and the planning, and how does that impact with something like Human Settlements? It may not impact with something else, but Human Settlements is a direct service to in municipalities. How would that impact? And as National Treasury looked at it. Thanks, Chair.
Members, if we can follow the example of Honorable Matara, I think it will be difficult for the Minister to have adequate time to respond. So please help me, Honorable Darblas.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentations and also the Minister's input. Thank you, Minister, I really appreciate that. The first thing that I want to start my first question is, you know, obviously the conditions, and specifically that, you know, the 50% needs to be spent on the upgrade of informal settlements and the 3%, you know, for additional capacity. I was just wondering whether you are measuring that and to what extent is the compliance. Then secondly, Chairperson, we have heard about, you know, substantial amounts that people are not able to spend, and yet they're supposed to be, you know, beefing it up with their own resources. My concern is, if that is the case, are they contributing anything? That is really, you know, a concern to me. Coming to the next, or the current financial year, you know, I'm really concerned that these people are heading, maybe, I hope I'm wrong, huge under expenditure. That is something that you can maybe just pursue. The CFO from Human Settlements have indicated that she has referred to some, you know, interventions or whatever, and I'm just wondering what that is. And then if I can just, on the Minister's proposal or plea that, you know, the policy, I agree with you, Minister, that you need to have, obviously you are a major role player, and you need to have, you know, some input there. But my recommendation would be, from where I'm sitting, is that possibly it needs to be, you know, a joint exercise where people are going to sit together and, you know, iron out a proper implementation plan to stop this, you know, Yarmakaspal, if I can say that. And then lastly, Chairperson, housing is a very important issue, and, you know, we cannot play around with this. But thank you for the input anyway. Thank you, Minister.
Thanks very much. Tategael?
Yeah, no, it's just a comment. I think I agree with you, Minister, that some of these funds must be converted to bulk infrastructure grant, especially in state level. But not only the USDG grant, also the grant for smaller municipalities. You would agree with me, Minister, if you drive from East London to Mthatha, most of those houses, and we're talking of big houses built by ordinary people, then you have this bulk infrastructure grant, there'll be less dependence on the government to build the RDP houses. So I agree with you, and the sooner that policy comes to these committees, the better. It will solve the problem so that we can, the people cannot just depend on government. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Beer.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the Ministry Department. It gives us a better picture of what is actually going on. To be progressive, Chair, I'm covered by Orban Motala in terms of that input. On the 21st of June, Select Committee Finances meeting with Metros. On the 20th, the day before the Tuesday, there's only committee reports for appropriations. That we look at how we put these 2 days together to get, I think, into the business of what we have just been presented. I take you back to the 29th of January when the Cape Metro appeared before us, had a lot of stories about development for the poor, listening to what the minister has just said. And we said then, 29th January, we're going to call Cape Town Metro back. So I think the table is set for us to take this further. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I just want to have a better understanding. I think the grant framework spells out time frames of what must happen when. Like, for instance, it says that department develop indicators for the outcomes, outputs, all those things, but then the specific issue that the department published the guidelines for 30 May 2017 on how capacity funds from the grant should be used by cities. I just would like to, but also to benefit from the department. Yeah, I'm just raising the issue, Minister, in terms of the Department of Human Settlement capacity to coordinate this work in terms of delivery of these metro cities. Just to say whether there are even state entities that works or the department coordinates to pull a lot of capital that is required in terms of investment or infrastructure, because it looks like, for me, the issue of under expenditure, when it's identified, you shift, the main problem is not resolved yet, because it's shifting as precisely the reasons that were given, that should not look into under expenditure in isolation of what are the causes of under expenditure. And it should be now, with a much more of a long-term plan, there should be certainty in terms of where housing, the location, and what is needed. There should be much more clarity in terms of planning. So I'm just simply want to understand the capacity of the department to drive this program without fail. Just even to understand, because what are common factors that mostly contribute to this under expenditure? Could be that the issue that the minister is raising of the issue of speaking with one voice. But previously, there's been complaint by departments who say Treasury is too much prescriptive on the grants. So it should give room for the departments to I'm just trying to understand. Maybe in terms of the framework, maybe the framework is too much loose. It doesn't define whose role is what in terms of the implementation of the grant. But previously, this was the experience of the committee. Was like the grants are too much conditionalities on the grants to the extent that they hamstring the process of development. Thanks. Any comment, Mr. Nzimande?
No, just one.
I
got it, Chair. No, thank you. I can't remember where, Chair, but somebody the presenters mentioned the amendment to the framework, I think as part of the review or something. And I think the call was for more flexibility to the grant. And I think what the minister is presenting is to say let's be more stringent, but walk on the fine line on on implementation. So if that part that says let's be more flexible on the amendment, I think that on the review, if they could elaborate further. But the DG earlier on was interested to get more detail. I think they coming from KZN, there was a bit of a mention of eThekwini becoming a consent metro when it comes to performance. I didn't get the detail, Chair, so to speak, or some indicate or point us into what are they observing. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Ntlasupi.
No, thanks, Chairperson, Minister. Maybe I must start by welcoming the presentation and voice certain issues that I would want to raise here. Chair, this is vote 38. I was expecting, at times we are confronted with this issue and it worries me a lot, and I think I must voice it here. We meet as a committee with the department, we engage on issues, and this is a platform where everybody is given an opportunity to begin to question the department. Now, I was expecting some people here to want more details rather than going to the house and saying we reject, because this is the platform. Before you reject, you get the facts. Having said that,
what is your point?
I was expecting that noise. Having said that, Chairperson, the USDG fund is a supplementary fund that doesn't supplement the capital budget. But I think the department, before it issues this fund to metros, has a plan, and they are allocated in terms of the predetermined objectives of the department. They have set targets, and in your presentation, the department was marked on its evaluation in terms of allocation of this fund as to whether are you as a department meeting your targets as determined in your APPs, in your strategic plan. What is it that you have done to date in terms of making sure that the outcomes of your department in the NDP are achieved? Chairperson, that would also relate to the issue that you raised on integration of communities, because it must be indicated in your plans and tell us how far have you moved as a department without going to municipalities as a department in terms of your plans. Now, the other issue, Chair, relates to, I have been looking at the financial years from 2011, 2012, blah, 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 looking at the municipalities as tabled here. Mangaung, Cape Town, if I have been looking correctly, have been the serious culprits of underspending and of not delivering. Now, something that was said, I was listening, and you said at some point in a particular financial year, you had to withdraw money from Ekurhuleni. But as a layman, I may not know how you're doing your things and what is the criteria that you use. My little knowledge says to me, I keep down should have been the culprit, because it is underperforming all over through the financial years. And at some point, the Ekurhuleni was performing far better than Cape Town. Why not withdraw the funds from Cape Town rather than in Ekurhuleni and Mangaung and Cape Town? That's the question. question, Chairperson. My last question relates to this underspending of municipalities. Part of the responsibilities of the national government is to monitor and to its monitoring and support. Now, if municipalities are underperforming and are doing that, what intervention strategies were put in place to support these municipalities to ensure that they don't underspend and they spend according to their allocation? My concern is that this is left open-ended to us to guess as to whether the availability of land, lack of beneficiaries, or whatever are the reasons that make municipalities to underspend, or policy issues like the minister has alluded to, that the municipality would say this is, you know, my area of operation, and you don't have to interfere with the others here and all that. If we could be just updated about all these issues. Yeah. Now, on the other, I like it because you are listening. Other evaluation findings. I know you, DA. You are saying finalize the policy on USDG, revision of the DORA grant framework. My concern is, you know, when you write these things, they are open-ended. So finalize the policy on when. Because we must have an indication. As we go and do an oversight over the department, we must be able to say, what is this that has not happened that you said it will happen at this specific. So it goes with other issues that we have related, that we have stated on other evaluation findings. Thank you, Chairperson. And I don't need your protection, Chair. I'm protected.
Thanks very much. You raise an important issue of the level of collaboration among previous of government in fulfilling this important housing settlement as identified as a priority by the NDP. Okay, let's allow the departments to comment, and then the minister will close this discussion. Is it fine, Minister? Okay, can you comment on some of the issues that are raised? Why a chronic problem of under expenditure? You have touched on it, your opening remarks, and you are back again, so deal with it. Thanks.
Thank you, colleague. Thank you, Chair. I'll ask my colleagues to respond to some of the specific questions because I wasn't here when they were raised. Let me first clarify the comment on Etegwini. Etegwini has been a good performer all these years. You can look at the figures. In fact, we do have a model in Etegwini which we think will work in other metros very well. They established what is called the top 150 capital project meeting. They look at their top 150 projects. If those top 150 capital projects are not performing, then the metro is not going to perform on their capital budget. And every second week, the city manager will sit and discuss projects with program managers. So Etegwini has been performing very well all these years. We were a little bit surprised with the fact that they started very slow this year. In fact, even last year, they spent 100% of their allocation. But they started slow. What worried us is the hockey stick approach, that they spend the bulk of the money towards the end of the year. But they do have projects. They have big projects. They have a good pipeline of projects. I think last year, they slowed down. I think they didn't manage the what one would call your back office procurement processes. But we're not worried about it at this stage. Ekurhuleni and Cape Town have been underperforming for the last 2-3 years, the figures show. And that's why we're keeping an eye on those two. We met with the city managers last year and we told them that this time around, if they don't perform, we will have to move the funds from those poor performing metros to good performing metros. And after we've consulted with the municipal managers. So we are still watching. I think we think that Ekurhuleni will do better this year. We have asked both metros if they are willing to accept extra capacity. Cape Town didn't come forth. Ekurhuleni, we have two officials that we have deployed to assist the metro to spend its budget and manage its pipeline. We receive on a weekly basis reports on how they are doing in the back office. I'll get those reports. And they made a projection of 96-97% expenditure this year. You'll recall that last year they only spent about 70-80% of their budget. But this year they are improving. If you look at other metros, Buffalo City used to be a poor performer, but Buffalo City has been performing very well over the last 2 years, and that's through our intervention as well as the department, where we sit down with the municipal manager, city manager, we sit down with the human settlements, heads of departments, and we look at both your back office and your front office activities. Front office are projects, back office are supporting activities such as your procurement. So we're only watching these two. The comment about KZN was that we are surprised that they started very slow, because we thought that they have a good pipeline of projects. But we're watching four metros this year. We're watching Etegwini, we're watching City of Cape Town, we're watching Johannesburg. Johannesburg is also not doing very well this year. If you compare Johannesburg figures over the last 3 years, at the end of March, they were sitting at 54%, and they've never been in that position before. And that worries us. In fact, we brought this to the attention of the head of human settlements in Johannesburg. I think we also raised it with the mayor when we were dealing with the protests in Joburg, that Johannesburg's performance on USDG is worrying us this year. But we're watching that process. All these four metros, we kept them under watch. We explained it to Treasury. I talked to the head of IGFR, Marjean, at Treasury, and I told them that this time around, we will move the funds in the first quarter of the financial year if the metro is not performing. The reason being, if we don't move those funds, we will lose that money. We still want to keep it within the sector because there are too many competing demands within the sector. So we talked to Treasury, we told them that if a metro is not performing, let's move the funds from poor performing metros to high performing metros. And we will do it in Cape Town and in Ekurhuleni this year. So it's not a threat. But because there is a demand in other metros, there is a demand in other provinces for bulk infrastructure, for bulk land, for land acquisition, for informal settlements, upgrading. So it makes sense that we, after consultation, we recommend to MINBEC and we recommend to Minister to move funds from poor performing programs or metros to high performing programs and metros. I'm going to leave it there, and then the specifics I will leave it to my colleagues, because I had to step outside. I missed most of the questions. I'll ask my colleague Neville to deal with other questions.
Person, can I just come in at this point? Yes. Can I just come in at this point? The DG has very clearly articulated what our problems are. But what he's skirting around is the fact that I have offered him and the DDG for IGR in Treasury to go away for a holiday to solve this problem. The reason why I am here is because they have not been able to solve this problem. Of what the boundaries are, and that is why we are at this point. May I get your permission, please, to send the DG and the DDG IGR in Treasury to solve this problem once and for all, so we know exactly what it is that we have control over, when we can shift and when we cannot shift.
DG, this is overwhelmingly supported by the committee that you should go to this kind of a holiday. It will help us and the people. thanks, Minister. COO, not outside the country, though. Thanks. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just a couple of points, and I'll address them. I think it's important to note that I don't think we must Labour under the impression that the USDG does not form a substantial part of the capital budgets. They do. I mean, if you look at the Treasury slides, it indicates, so for example, in the case of Nelson Mandela, it constitutes 56% of that capital budget. And I think the point that has been always indicated is that if you put in that amount of money from a national department, I think that's what ministers indicated, then we must have some say over how that money gets allocated, how it gets used, and what the outcomes are. And I think that's been the difficulty around this issue, is around bringing compliance. And I think we must be also clear that we haven't asked for anything outside of saying, tell us how many poor households you've provided with water, sanitation, what the number of street lights are. I mean, those are the indicators that are there. And I think it's accountability. Now we can debate the issue around whether or not those things are onerous, but I think we must be able to indicate what is the value for money and what's the outcome issues. I think in relation to the 50%, it's important to note that none of the metros are actually meeting that 50% threshold of expenditure on poor households or households in informal settlements. So, for example, the city of Cape Town last year only spent 7% of the USDG in informal settlements. This year, they came to us and they said, well, we've moved it up to 14%. We've seen this kind of trend. I mean, but the other metros are at least making some impact in relation to how they want to be able to do that. So the sanctions around that is particularly what ministers raised. The policy will give certainty and allow particularly Minister together with Minmec to yield sanctions in relation to the ability of where that money gets spent. Chair, I think we've raised the issue that when you have in the last quarter those high spikes, the question of value for money. So value for money and how the money gets spent. Because if you're going to spend 800 million rand of your budget in 2 months, it calls into question why you couldn't spend that. And I think the DG's put in place the intervention teams together with the CFO, so there's quarterly reviews. There's monitoring that takes place in relation to that, and there's accountability in relation to that. On the issue of the difference on the financial years, it's a question of interpretation. One of the things that has been said is that if national and province approves its budget at the end of March, it gives metros certainty to be able to plan for 3 months about what they're going to get, so that they can put into place those. So it's a situation that says, well, what has gone wrong? Poor program and project management, bureaucracies around the procurement, compliance issues. We've raised these issues that changes in management that has been there. But I think it would be wrong for anyone to walk out of this room or to say that we've placed onerous conditions on that. We haven't. I mean, I think the issue is that we ask when we do, and the allocations are made, it's on the basis of what the integrated development plan says, what the built environment performance plan says, and what the capital budget is able to spend. I think the issue around the consolidation of the grants, we've raised that issue, and I think Treasury have indicated it. One of the things that is under consideration, and I think it'll probably come before this committee, is the merging of the USDG with the Integrated Energy Program, the Integrated Transport Grant, and consideration of how we spread that grant architecture. I'm not sure if I've left anything else.
Just to add, Chair, one of the challenges that one picks up in as far as the financial year period is concerned is the reporting that the members indicated. Ordinarily, Chair, we would have wanted everything to be reported by the end of March. just so that we consolidate two grants and report collectively on them. The other one complements the other one. And you would notice that you would have a three-month lagging behind. However, we have managed that situation by taking the 3 months that the Metro would have finalized their year and covered the expenditure to the end to be part of our first quarter reporting in terms of the human settlement development grant and the department as we start the year. However, we have also aligned our planning to that. So what the lagging behind forms part of the starting point of the human settlement development because we talk to each other. The build environment plan together with the business plan of the department. We've come to a stage whereby they talk to each other in terms of the USDG and the alignment of the HSDG. So I also want to indicate that, and over and above what my colleague COO had indicated in terms of the 50% and the 3% that we earmarked for capacity, and what does it do? We came up with this 3% in support of the capacity that in province the Metro had indicated to have been lacking. What we do on that, we've asked the Metro to indicate specifically where the 3% is going to be utilized, and we lock it within the 3%. And what normally does is that it will provide the human resource element as well as the other resources like equipment and everything. We've picked up a point whereby the USDG was sitting at somewhere where it would not be easily reported. So that capacity grant was that capacity that has been developed is primarily looking at the USDG across the Metro and within the PMU unit within the Metro. So that money gets earmarked and it's reported as such. Thank you.
The one question that we didn't answer, I think it's the last question, it's about the reasons for understanding. They vary from poor leadership in the administration, they vary from poor planning, poor pipelining, what we call the pipelining. In the built environment, it takes you approximately 36 months to get a good pipeline. If you don't package your projects, the projects that we're implementing now were packaged 2 years ago because your planning approvals, the statutory approvals, your environmental approvals, what we call the RODs, they're all statutory approvals. The timelines are stipulated in the legislation, so which is why you have to invest in creating a good pipeline of projects so that when one project is not performing, you can use another project as a mitigator, and that's what Etiquette has mastered over the years, and that's why they keep their eyes on the pipeline. You don't worry too much about what's running. You worry about those projects that you still have to package, because if you don't package them on time, you won't be able to spend money. The bigger part of the money goes on projects where the contractor is on site. You don't disperse on planning issues, you disperse on construction. So which then means that you need to keep that construction pipeline going. So most metros that are not performing very well are metros that have failed to invest in pipelining. They have failed to get good construction project managers, good town planners, and good project managers. You must have all of that lined up. Take Rulin as an example. They do have projects. They have a lot of projects, big projects. But I think their back office supply chain processes have failed them. And it took forever. If you look at on average, it takes them approximately 6 months to appoint, just to make an appointment. And the rule is that in the built environment, you have to get all of your projects, all of your contractors appointed before the start of the financial year. Otherwise, you won't be able to disperse and spend the money. So it's all about planning and also implementation. You get your back office supply chain processes checked up. Otherwise, if you don't, you're going to take forever to appoint a contractor or appoint professionals to do the work. So the reasons vary. In some cases, when it's all said and done, it's about leadership in the administration. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, DG. Treasury, can you comment? Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just going to comment on the two issues. I think largely the comments by colleagues from the department have dealt with some of the issues that we were going to talk about. The issue of the impact of the of the calendar years or municipal years versus financial years, we don't see it to be a big problem. In fact, we think that the calendar, these financial years have been long in the system that we should have by now adopted to the way they are. What they do to the fiscus is that they give the fiscus the breathing space. The funding that gets allocated to the third sphere of government, which is municipalities, is funding allocated within the vote of the national sphere of government. So they therefore have got to go through their process, and then such that it gives synergy to what cities must then take over. Municipalities are required in terms of legislation to pass, to table their budget from the 31st of March. There on, then they start to engage in terms of community consultation. Then later on, before July, before their year could start, they then can adopt. So it gives space for government to work in synergy. We think that the biggest challenge, Chairperson, is the issue of planning. And most of the time we just talk about planning as the word it says, but we never opens it up. Even when we make our presentation, we always just put a word to say problem planning. But I think we need to drill down into what is the problem with this thing called planning. And I know that members in the House would know what basically planning is. We see it as preparatory work before the implementation can start. Now, if we get to July that the plan, and we find that the planning hasn't finalized, we will have a problem. I think it goes without saying. And if I can just give an example, in terms of the framework of the USDG, it requires that by the 31st of March, cities submit their performance matrix to the department. And that has been put such that it aligns to their tabling of their budget. So in all fairness, for that year that is coming, such that they are tabling their budget, they should have an understanding of what is going to happen because they are tabling their budget, such that they can feed into the matrix that is required by the department, which must also link up with what we call the BEPP, the Built Environment Performance Plan. Now, we've seen over the years, and from the Treasurer's point of view, I'm responsible for transferring the money to municipal. We've seen over the years that the department would say, we have not yet received compliance in terms of the matrix from the cities. Therefore, we cannot transfer. And the moment you don't transfer, it means that the department will be found to be under pressure in terms of performance as a result of this lacking thing. So this requires that, I think, both government, it requires that government in its entirety work together to facilitate the preparatory work. In other words, the issue of saying, where are you today such that in July you are ready? And we should be able to arrest this thing. What is required for us as officials is that at any point in time, we need to be geared up to be looking at three time frames. What has happened in the past, what is currently happening in terms of the current year spent, and also how ready are you as a city going into the financial, into the new financial year. If we can arrest this part in terms of the preparatory work, then I think that we could at least start well. We might have blockages in terms of the SCM processes later on because some of this thing can't be controlled, especially because they are future dated. But we should be able to at least start in a position where we're saying the plan we have. The second issue, Chairperson, that I wanted to talk about perhaps was the issue of the stopping of allocations versus the withholding and also the rollovers. There are different, or there are various ways where money could either be stopped or delayed, or its rollover could get rejected by government. from the city's point of view. And just to respond to the issue of Ekurhuleni versus Ethekwini, it could have been either of the two, but the two may not have been the same from each other. So in other words, it could be that Ethekwini, we might have stopped the money based on underperformance, or in Ekurhuleni we might have not approved a rollover. So if we didn't approve a rollover, it's a different matter as opposed to stopping. The non-approval of a rollover would have been a result of the requirement in terms of the circular by complying with what is an unspent and how do you commit an underspending of the conditional grant. So we may be able to perhaps give the details later on in terms of what happened in Ekurhuleni. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Members, I think you know that we will have a second discussion on this when we discuss the report. And also we'll spell out what additional information we may require from the department, U.S. settlement and treasure. So I think I want to, therefore, we agree that we give the minister, so that as the minister, to give the concluding remarks on this matter, and we'll outline our process as a committee. Thank you. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think most of my issues were covered, and you did respond that perhaps this might need broader consultation between yourselves and several other committees that are responsible for oversight over human settlements, and we stand ready to come and give our presentation, after which we are hoping that we would then have plain sailing in presenting the policy document to Cabinet and having it adopted. It's long overdue, and we are unable to move forward. What the DG was indicating about the under expenditure in the metros and perhaps the impact that USDG has varies from one metro to the other. We were in Johannesburg to deal with the issue of Annandale and Rivoli and etc. And the mayor was bemoaning the fact that he actually completely disagrees with the policy on human settlements because he doesn't have enough money to do what is required to do. And it turned out that nobody had explained to the mayor that he does have a USDG grant in his environment to utilize. And I don't know how this happens. Perhaps now that we have the presidency here, they could help us beyond the policy to actually ensure that we can tighten the monitoring, beyond just the monitoring, the actual monitoring about how a new government structure understands what is required at a particular time, because this is required to be a seamless transition, because our people don't particularly give time to the fact that a new government has to stand in. Chairperson, as you deal with this, there had been a proposal from local government that there should be a local government school of government. May I suggest that this be taken into account, because we do need people who come in to understand what is required of them and have the necessary information and expertise to expeditiously deal with these matters, because our people tire. And this morning we had a terrible case in KwaZulu-Natal where a two-year-old died after police intervened in a housing protest. Now, that's not the kind of thing you want to wake up to every morning. So I look to you, please, to take forward your suggestion. We would like to move on this matter. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Minister, first for being available in the committee, and as you previously indicated, the interest that you want to join your administrative, the managers of the department to be with the committee in dealing with these very important issues. And also I think the committee appreciates that the issue of policy supervision is receiving the required attention, that there's clarity in terms of this important mandate of providing human settlement in a very integrated way and breaking ranks with the past special framework inspired by segregating our people on the basis of the past policy trajectory. So we were quite happy that issues that are important have been put quite much more prominently, and we can make an undertaking as a committee that once more we will coordinate with the rest of other committees so that there is clarity and there's certainty in terms of what is it that we expect and what informs our oversight and accountability work as we'll be doing carrying this work. So we also, even in terms of issues around challenges that we are faced with construction. And the last one that you're making, concluding with Minister of the School, Local Government, School of Government, institutional capacity and that is also playing into ensuring that we've got capacity in all range of issues, whether it's planning, whatever, and ensure that we retain the expertise that we had in the country to move forward. So we are quite happy, Minister, by your presence, of course, and also clarifying this very contentious policy question. Thanks very much. Thanks to the senior managers of the department and the treasury too. Minister Lindiwe Sisulu is now leaving the committee. So we can thanks very much. We can take 2 minutes comfort, members. That's not too much. Just to chat with each other. And yes. Please don't go to the minister and give your provincial, each province. You are council of provinces, Minister. I'm from Mangaung, so I'll talk about none of the skewed performance. Thanks.